Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
In the heart of any student. And some of you teachers out there, you like to do that, don't you? And you love to bring that fear to your students from time to time. How many of you have ever been in a class where the teacher stood up and started class by saying that, "All right, students, pop quiz." You ever been there? And the heart drops. You're thinking, "I didn't pay attention yesterday. I didn't take any notes. I was sick last week." And you're asking your neighbor, "What was it about yesterday again? I don't know what it's going to be about." And I can remember days like that, pop quizzes, and it's the worst, for me at least, when it was just like a one or two or five question quiz. For me, I like tests that had a lot more questions because the margin for error was better. Every wrong answer counted less against my grade, so I wasn't as stressed about that. But maybe you've been in and you can remember a quiz that only had one question, or even a test, or maybe a final exam that was one question long, pass or fail. Maybe it was an essay question. Don't you hate the teachers that give you those essay questions? And it was an essay, and you've got to, it's not, I don't have four choices where I've got at least a 25% chance of getting it right. It's not multiple choice. I have to explain my thoughts that I actually know what's happening. This morning in our passage in Luke 9, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there to Luke 9. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, there should be one in the back of the pew there in front of you. I'd encourage you to grab that, the fourth book of the New Testament. Follow along in Luke 9. We pick it up from where we were last week, right after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. You remember that? If you were here last Sunday, we saw Jesus take the five loaves and the two fishes, look up to heaven, pray, break the bread, and God fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, probably somewhere in the range of 10 or 20,000 people. And right after this, Jesus is going to be talking. They've gathered up the baskets, the 12 baskets full of leftovers. And Jesus is going to have a conversation with his disciples, and he's going to give them a pop quiz. Jesus is going to ask them, it's one, kind of, I guess you could say two questions, but really one important question that he's going to ask. And it's literally the most important question in the history of humanity. It's a question that every one of us has to answer in our own lives. It's a question that really determines everything as it relates to eternity for you and for me. And the truth is, it's a pass or fail test. We're going to see the most important question really in all of history. Today we look at five verses. I was going to try to get through verse number 26 today. We're starting in verse 18 where we left off last week. I was going to try to get to verse 26, and I realized the message was going to go way too long. So you have to come back next week for the second half and learning what Jesus answers after the pop quiz and how he replies. We're going to look at five verses. Let's read them together this morning. Luke 9, beginning in verse number 18, we'll look at five verses together. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, after he had done service, after he had served multitudes, he went aside, Jesus went aside praying. His disciples, it says, were with him. So he was alone, that personal relationship. By the way, a good example, after times where you've poured yourself out, where you've given, you have to refill yourself. And Jesus gives us that great example. After he ministered, he's alone praying, and the disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" This is kind of like a bonus question. This isn't the pop quiz here. This is a question that matters, but not the most important question. Verse 19, they answering said, who did they say, church? The first person that people said Jesus was who? John the Baptist. Some say Elias or Elijah. Others say one of the old prophets is risen again. Verse 20, here it is. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. We're seeing a lot of firsts in Luke 9 for the followers of Christ, the wild ride of peaks and valleys of following Jesus. And this is really the first time that Jesus really explains, here is what is waiting for me. Here is what's coming. And it's not yet time for me to let everyone know, to let this plan out. So I'm letting you in on some secrets, disciples. This is what's coming. I'm trying to prepare your hearts. But he says, I just want you to know you got the answer right, Peter. And here's what that means. By the way, they didn't fully understand what it meant, what Jesus' purpose was. We see that in some of their conversations. Even his disciples, the 12 apostles, thought he was coming to kind of build his kingdom here on earth and that he was going to be a powerful political leader that was going to bring peace to the nations. And they would ask, hey, can I sit on your right hand? Basically, can I be high up in your cabinet? We're going to be the real powerful people here on earth. And Jesus lets them in and he says, you need to know that I am going to die. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to rise again. He's giving them a peek into what it's going to mean to be a follower of Christ. I want us to see three things in this passage this morning. We're going to look in these five verses. We're going to see three things about this pop quiz. Number one, I see the danger of mistaken identity. The danger of mistaken identity. Isn't it interesting? He said, who do the crowds say that I am? Hey, there's a buzz about Jesus happening. Who else have you seen that just took a little boy's lunch and fed thousands and thousands of people? People are talking. Have you heard about this guy, Jesus of Nazareth? I'm not sure. His dad was a carpenter. He was in construction. But in the last year or two, he's taken this area by storm. He's doing some crazy things. They knew there was something different. And Jesus says, what are the people saying? What's word on the street? Who do they think I am? And they said, well, some of them think you're John the Baptist. Remember, Herod had beheaded John the Baptist. And what does that say? You're a good teacher. You're a good preacher. John the Baptist was that forerunner, that one that preached the good news of Christ. Some are saying, maybe you're John the Baptist come back to life. He's like him. He's a preacher. He's a teacher. He's got an amazing message. Others, they think you're Elijah. What is that? Elijah's a prophet. You're somebody that's doing great miracles. Elijah called down fire from heaven. They know you're doing miracles like they've never seen before. Maybe it's Elijah and some others. You're one of the prophets come back to life from the Old Testament, maybe Jeremiah or Isaiah. You're one of those Zechariah. You're one of those Old Testament prophets. What are they saying? Some people that were involved in the religious leadership and political leadership of Israel from centuries past. What did they see Jesus as when you look at those three groups? Well, some people are saying you're a really good teacher. Some people are saying you're a powerful preacher. Some people are saying you're a miracle worker. Others are saying you're a prophet. Others think maybe you're going to be an up-and-coming political star. You're going to take over the religious world. These are what these people are saying. And I want you to notice by the answers of what everyone was saying, here's the reality. Everyone, there was no doubt in everyone's mind that he was different than anyone else they had ever seen. They knew there was something different. They knew he was doing miracles they had never seen anyone do. They had only read about in the Old Testament. They knew that he was teaching things. It said in another spot, never a man spake like this. He was teaching things that no one had ever taught before. There was no doubt there was something special about this Jesus character. And I don't mean that irreverently. You get what I'm saying to the crowds. There's something different about this. He's not just your run-of-the-mill priest or prophet. He's not just your run-of-the-mill religious leader or up-and-coming political star. There's something different about. They knew there was something different, but they didn't quite understand who he was. They knew he was different and important. They didn't recognize who he truly was. They didn't fully recognize who was standing right in front of them. And that's a danger for us today, isn't it? Years ago, Charlie Chaplin, at the time one of the most recognizable people on earth, he entered a true story, a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. I think we have a picture of some of the Charlie Chaplin look-alikes. The contestants wore the same bowler hats that was Charlie's signature. They had the same mustache. The judges watched carefully. They looked at all of the Charlie Chaplin lookalikes, including the real deal, the real McCoy, Charlie Chaplin in the midst of them. They compared, they debated, and then they made their proclamation. They announced the winners. Do you know when the results were announced, Charlie Chaplin didn't win his own lookalike contest? He didn't place second. He wasn't even in the top 10. The man that everyone else was imitating stood right there among them, and they didn't recognize him. The problem wasn't that Charlie Chaplin wasn't present. The problem was that he didn't match the version of Chaplin they were looking for. Just as Charlie Chaplin stood among the imitators and went unrecognized, here in Luke 9, the Messiah stood among the multitudes, and most people missed him. He was right there. He was present, but they didn't really. He didn't look like what they thought the Messiah was supposed to look like. And the same thing happens to many today, where we mistake the identity of Christ, the danger of mistaken identity in this world today, maybe even some in this room, but in our culture, we view Jesus as a teacher of good things, or maybe a miracle worker, or for us, or a political leader who will bring peace to the earth or make America better. He is our genie in a bottle. He becomes our mascot for social justice or our path to a more comfortable, prosperous life. And if I follow Jesus, my life will, I guess, get easier and better. And we miss who he really is. And this morning, Liberty, and those that are watching online, it is a dangerous thing to mistake the identity of Christ, to get the answer to this question wrong, and to not understand who he truly is. You know, it's interesting. Almost every major religion of the world believes Jesus lived and existed on earth. Do you know that? There's almost no religion of the world that denies the existence of the one that we would believe is the Savior of the world. Almost none of them say, well, that's just a fairy tale, that's a fable, that's a fictional character, that's some mythical creature, that's a Greek god that we've read about. And no, almost every major religion of the world acknowledges the reality and the existence of Jesus Christ. They just disagree on his identity. They mistake his identity. Judaism says that he was a Jewish rabbi, but not divine, not the Messiah they were looking for. And so they still look for a Messiah. Islam says he was a great prophet who performed miracles, but he is not the Son of God, and he was not crucified. And they look to the ultimate prophet, Muhammad. Hinduism says he was a holy man and a wise teacher. Buddhism acknowledges him as an enlightened teacher who was a compassionate, moral example. Modern culture sees him as a social reformer, an inspirational symbol of love and social justice, but not a savior. He's a good example for our political causes, but not the foundation upon which to build our lives. Mormonism says that Jesus is a created being, not the eternal God. He is the elder brother of all humans and the elder brother of Lucifer. Jehovah's Witnesses say he was the first created being, but did not rise from the dead. For the New Age devotee, he is an enlightened consciousness who shows you the path so you can discover the Christ spirit within yourself. Every other religion is comfortable with Jesus as long as he doesn't claim too much. As long as he doesn't claim to be the one true God. The problem is that Jesus didn't leave room in his own words and in his own preaching and in his own life. He didn't leave room to be viewed as just a way to God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Christianity and the message of Christ is a very inclusive message. For God so loved the world, everyone. He loved, it's very inclusive. All are welcome. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's a very inclusive religion, a very inclusive faith. He loves everyone, but it's also very exclusive because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not your works, not your good deeds, not your religion, not your family history, not your baptism, not your offering. There is nothing that will get you to heaven, not your sacraments or your prayers. It is only faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We can't afford to get his identity wrong. The semi-truck that brought all the scriptures for our project this week and that will take many of them with them, it has on the side there, eternity is a long time to be wrong. We cannot afford to get his identity wrong. He's right here among us, but we miss who he is. Number two, not only do I see the danger of mistaken identity, I see the most important question. So he asks them first, what's the word on the street? Who do people think I am? What are you hearing? What are they making of what I'm doing? And then he turns it and he says, you know what? I don't really care that much about the crowds. Let me ask you a question. Who do you say that I am? The most important question is not, what does the world think? The most important question is not, what do the Baptists think or the Catholics think or the non-denominational church think or the Methodists or the Unitarians or that's not the most important question today. The most important question is, who do you say that he is? He turns it on to the disciples and says, all right, you've heard it. Who do you guys think I am? You're spending the most time with me. You've heard my teaching. You've been with me. You've walked with me. Who do you think I am? And this is the one question, final exam, that every human has to answer. He goes from the crowds to his followers. He makes it very personal. Who do you say that I am? And I want to ask you this morning, who is Jesus to you? Is he a good example? A good moral teacher? One way in your portfolio of ways to get to heaven? Well, I'm going to cover my Jesus bases, and I'll cover these bases over here, and I'll cover that base, and I'm going to cover my good works base, and I'm going to cover all. And he's one way for you. Who is Jesus to you? It doesn't matter what the rest of the world says about Jesus. In eternity, it won't even matter what your friends or family say of who Jesus is. What will matter is, who do you say that he is? This question will determine your answer to this question will determine your eternal destiny. Revelation 20 says it this way, and I saw, this is in eternity future, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. There is coming a day, the Bible says, that every person that's ever walked the face of this earth will stand before God at what is known as the great white throne judgment. We will stand before the throne of God. I saw the dead stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of what, church? The book of life. The book of life was open, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, eternal death, and here it is, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the question then is, how do you know for sure that your name is written in the book of life? The Bible says, by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. By placing your faith and trust in Christ alone, the finished work of Christ on the cross. And the Bible says that when your name is written in the book of life, that it cannot be blotted out. It's the most important question. So we see the danger of mistaken identity, the most important question. And lastly, we see the only right answer. Four words. Peter answering said, would you say those four words aloud with me this morning? Ready? Begin. The Christ of God. One more time. The Christ of God. Like we're awake this morning. The Christ of God. The only right answer. The Christ. Who are you? Who do you guys think I am? They think I'm a prophet, a moral teacher, a miracle worker, a political leader, a religious leader. Who do you guys think I am? Peter said, you are the Christ of God. You are sent by God. You are God. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the promised Messiah, prophesied for centuries by Old Testament prophets. You are the Christ of God. And I want us to understand, we call him at times Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand, I think most of us probably understand this, but maybe there's some that this is new and these truths are new. Christ is not his last name. I don't mean that humorously. Jesus is his name. Christ is a title. The word Christ, the title Christ, means anointed one or chosen one. So Jesus, his name, Christ is the title. So what Peter is saying here, you are the anointed one, the chosen one of God. It's a title, and it comes from that word Christ, comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach. Mashiach is where we get our word Messiah. Messiah, a deliverer, a savior, the promised deliverer or savior. What is he saying? You are the Christ. You are the savior. You are the Messiah. You are the promised one, the anointed one, the chosen one of God, the one we've been looking for. That's who you are. And that is the only right answer according to scripture to who Jesus is. He is the Mashiach, the Christ of God, the Messiah. And I want to say this morning, very clearly, he is more than a preacher, more than a moral teacher, more than a miracle worker, more than John the Baptist, more than Elijah, more than any other Old Testament prophet. He's more than an inspirational figure and more than a peacemaker, more than a good example for us to follow his teachings. He is Christ the God, Christ of God and the God. There was a time where it was kind of popular, it was trendy. There were t-shirts that it said, Jesus is my homeboy. And there were bumper stickers that said, Jesus is my co-pilot. Oh, may I say to you, Jesus is far more and far more great than our homeboy or our co-pilot. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is our righteousness. He is the Savior, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. His name is the highest. His name is the greatest. He is our mediator. He is our advocate. He is a good shepherd, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. He's our cornerstone, our rock, the resurrection and the life, our refuge, our deliverer, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And every one of us has to come to a place that we answer this question. Who do you say I am? Well, I think when I go and I hear songs about you, it makes me feel good. So you're somebody that kind of makes my life better. Well, I like the teachings. It would make our world better if people would live those teachings. They're good moral teachings. Boy, I'm hoping that I've got a big prayer request, a big need in my life. I'm hoping if I go to church, maybe you'll answer it and you'll heal this physical need or you'll meet this financial need. I heard you're a miracle worker. I'm hoping you'll be that for me. Oh, be careful. The crowds thought he was all of that, but they missed who he really was. Don't miss who Jesus is. Peter confessed him as Christ, as Messiah, as Savior. Peter said, Jesus, you are the answer. You're the promised one, the anointed one, the one we've been looking for. He believed the right thing about Christ, and then he confessed it with his mouth. And the Bible says in Romans that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As Jesus asked his disciples some 2,000 years ago, I ask you this morning, and by the way, your answer to this, it changes everything about eternity, and if you'll come back next Sunday, you'll see that it changes everything about our daily life on earth. Jesus, after Peter answers, he gives him the rest of kind of what the implications of this truth are. But I ask you this morning, who do you say that he is? A one-question pop quiz. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, he says there are only three options when considering who Christ is. He said he is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. There's only three options. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. You see, why would he say that? Because Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Savior. He claimed to be the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. He claimed to be the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy. He claimed to pay the finished work, the eternal work of salvation for all mankind on the cross of Calvary. And so because of the claims that Christ made, it only leaves room for three options. One, he's either a liar. He knows that he's not the Son of God. He's a false teacher that is willingly deceiving people on earth and allowing that to continue on for 2,000 years. If he knew that he wasn't the Son of God and claimed it, that makes him a liar. The second option is he's a lunatic. He's a madman. He's crazy. He's deceived. He actually believes he's the Son of God, but he's not. That would make him crazy. That if I walked up to you and said, I am the only begotten Son of God, I am the Savior of the world, you would say, that guy's crazy. There's something wrong up there. If either that or he's a liar. He's a liar or he's a lunatic. Or the third option is he is who he said he was. He is Lord. And by the way, history for 2,000 years has proven that truth to be true. He is who he said he was. If I came up to you today and I said, and you gave me your name, and I put my hand out, and I said, oh, my name is LeBron James, the greatest basketball player in the world. Some of you might get mad and start arguing with me about whether or not LeBron is the greatest basketball player in the world. You wouldn't even hear the other part. But if I said, my name's LeBron James, I'm the greatest basketball player in the world, there would only be three options. Really only two, because immediately you would know the third is not true. But the three options would be I'm a liar, I'm a lunatic, or I'm LeBron. Well, I think you would figure out pretty quick, if you know who LeBron is, that option three isn't an option, so there's only two options. If I said that, I'm a liar or I'm a lunatic. And so here is the crux of the matter with this. If he is not who he said he was, then he can't be the other things that every other religion wants to say he is. If he's not Lord, he can't be a good moral teacher because he's either a liar or a lunatic. If he's not Lord, he can't be a good example for us to pattern our lives after and someone that can do those things because he is a liar or a lunatic. It cannot be, well, he's not Lord, but we're still going to act like he's a good person that did a lot of good things. No, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or a Lord. He cannot be like prophet, like Elijah or Moses, because if he's not who he said he was, then he would be a false prophet. Elijah and Moses and Jeremiah, they were true prophets. Jesus is the dividing line of every belief system, and what we choose to believe about him changes everything. So we must get this question right. In another book, C.S. Lewis said, if Christianity, if false, is of no importance, if true, it's of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. Jesus is the dividing line of every belief system. Isn't it interesting that every belief system acknowledges Jesus but gets his identity wrong? And isn't it interesting? There's actually, when you look at the religious leaders of the major belief systems of the world, there's only one whose name we use as a swear word. There's only one that they tell us we can't pray in that name at a public gathering. Why? Because there's something powerful about the name of Jesus. There's something convicting about the name of Jesus. God has given him a name that's above every name. So the question from Jesus rings out to each one of us this morning, who do you say that I am? Wiersbe said, it is impossible to be wrong about Jesus and right with God. What will you do with Jesus today? If you're here this morning and you don't know him as Savior, I'm here to tell you, he is the Savior of the world. Why would you reject him any longer? Accept his free gift of salvation, of forgiveness. There's coming a day when all of us will have to give our answer to this question, who do you say that I am? At the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, we will give an account if we accepted Christ or rejected him. The most important decision, the most important question, the most important answer we will ever have to give is the one to the question, who do you say that I am? That answer changes everything about eternity according to Scripture, and it changes everything we'll see next week about our walk and our daily purpose and priority in life. One question, pop quiz. Bonus question, who do the crowd say that I am? Good teacher, miracle worker, maybe a prophet. There's something different. We know that for sure. There's no debate. They think you're different than anyone else on earth right now. They just are getting it wrong. But what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ of God, the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one, the Savior of the world. You are the one we've been looking for. That question and our answer to it changes everything. And so today I ask you, who do you say?
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.